Sri Lanka's long-running civil war came to an end in May. But 4 months later, nearly 300,000 Tamil civilians who were trapped in the conflict zone still find themselves confined in government-run camps. Although some 15,000 civilians have been released and resettled so far, international concern is growing over the continued detention of so many civilians in the overcrowded military-run camps. Sanitation is poor inside the camps, and aid workers fear conditions will become dire when monsoon rains begin later this month, with a threat of raw sewage flooding some of the lower-lying areas. The Sri Lankan authorities say they cannot release the civilians until they finish screening them for possible rebel fighters, and until landmines are cleared from their villages in the north of the island. The government has pledged to try to return 80% of the displaced people to their homes by the end of the year, but many are sceptical about whether that promise can be kept. Bishop John Arnold of Westminster Diocese in Britain has just returned from an 8-day visit to Sri Lanka, during which he toured, along with another British bishop, some of the camps for the displaced people. He spoke to me about his impressions.
Well, all I can say is that when the camps were opened, they expected about 150,000 refugee IDPs, and over 300,000 seem to have turned up. So that's put enormous pressure on the camps anyway. But the government at that stage said that within 180 days, they estimated that 80% of those people would have been resettled to their own villages. Now we're about 90 days into get that 180-day window, and certainly there hasn't been a great deal of movement out of the camps, but we have that deadline and we must hold the government accountable for it. And if it slips, then we'd need to know the reasons why there is a slippage.
And what are conditions like there? I know you spoke to a priest who was detained there and some nuns who work inside the camp, and you also spoke to people who've already been released from the camp. What did they tell you about conditions?
Well, inevitably, if you open a refugee camp, it's pretty ad hoc in the way it's put together. If two people turn up for every one place that's made available, then the camps are going to be very cramped, and that's certainly what we saw. There was a difficulty, we were told, about latrines. You should really intend at least a minimum of one for 20 people, but it was one for 40 people, so that clearly is inadequate. And we saw a variety of shelters, from plastic sheeting through to tents through to huts with metal roofs.
But I gather that some people are worried that conditions are going to get even worse during the forthcoming rainy season, that there's a risk of floods that may send raw sewage flowing through the camps. I gather that already happened once.
A couple of weeks ago, yes, there was an early rain, and it clearly showed that one of the camps was really on a floodplain. And so there was a lot of damage, particularly to the sewerage system. The commander of the camp in Zone 4 that we met, a brigadier, he acknowledged the seriousness of the timescale in making sure that people are not going to be threatened unduly by the monsoon rains. And there's four camps in preparation at the moment, which are supposedly away from the floodplains, where the people can be more safely kept during the rains. But of course, the questions open then: are these being built now because they're going to be more permanent? Certainly we hope not, because we've got to hold the government to that 180-day deadline.
And do the people there get sufficient food rations and water and, you know, access to washing, for instance?
Well, we certainly saw a lot of efforts being put into the delivery of water, and there doesn't seem to be any difficulty about that. And the World Food Authorities are putting in the basics, but really that's not a particularly attractive diet. So there has been a good deal of work done by Caritas and their partners to supplement the basic foodstuffs. So that's improving to a degree. But of course, these people really shouldn't be there. They should be at home and able to look after themselves.
And what about the morale of the people? I know you talked, for instance, to people who've already been released from the camps. What did they say? How do people feel being, as you say, basically held prisoner in these camps for so many months?
That's right. Well, I've only had one experience of refugee camps elsewhere. And my experience then was that people were relieved to be in those camps because it was away from the violence and the conflict. But here we've got forced confinement, and this is a very sad situation, that 300,000 people should not be in camps, and the sooner they're out, the better. The people we spoke to who have been in the camps and confined there said that it was a very difficult place to be, and they were certainly very relieved to be out. But
did they say there was a sense of anger or resentment among the people?
Well, I think there are so many people who, after 30 years of war, are delighted that conflict has come to an end. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because we've now got to build peace. So I don't think 12 weeks after the cessation of conflict that there's a great deal of anger. But of course, that's something that could easily develop if promises are made and not honoured.
And what's making the resettlement process so slow? You talked about how only a few thousand have so far been allowed to leave the camps for resettlement purposes.
Yes. The reasons we were given by the Brigadier were two, mainly. First of all, that there's large areas of ground still mined, and they want to clear the mines before they relocate the people back to their villages. That's going to take time, and some people say that they're not at all sure even which areas have been mined, either by the Tamil Tigers or by the government. So that's taking time. Also, there's this whole business of screening the people in the camps for the CADA and combatants, and trying to make sure that they identify those people who have been involved in the conflict. That may take longer. But whether this is going to mean that a significant number of people remain a long time in the camps remains to be seen, and we must hope that this process can go ahead as quickly as possible.
Now, what are the majority of the people doing all day inside the camps? What activities are being provided for them if they're not allowed to go out and work outside the camps during the day?
Yes, it's not clear. I think there's a great deal of standing around doing very little. There has been an increasing sense among the Caritas workers and their partners that people have become more likely to engage in looking after themselves, in helping to improve the conditions in the camps for themselves rather than waiting for the authorities to do it. So there can be probably some activity on that part. But we weren't given any indication that there was any real employment for the people in the camps, which is, I think, probably a seedbed for a great deal of discontent if it goes on for very long.
They must be very bored.
I would think so. And then boredom can lead to all sorts of things.
I mean, some people have expressed fears that, you know, if this detention does drag on and if the government doesn't keep his promises in terms of when they should be released, that it could fuel future rebellions against the government.
Well, that I think is true of any conflict, isn't it? If it's not resolved, then new elements of resentment and anger grow. And that means that the government has a great opportunity here. The faster it can relocate people in their homes, allow them to get on with what they want to do in their lives. Many of them are agricultural workers, and they are responsible for a part of Sri Lanka which is really the wheat basket of the island, so they're important for the economy. If that can be moved ahead as quickly as possible, then I think a good deal of goodwill is built up for the future, and a real lasting sense of peace and collaboration among the different sections of the population.
And do people there that you spoke to, both in and outside the camps, feel that this deadline that the government set itself of 180 days for 80% of them to be resettled is feasible?
I think the general impression was that probably the 180 days is not realistic. But if there is a sense of a time scale, then if that slips a bit, that's not so awful, as long as there's still a time scale for resolution. I don't know where they might have plucked 180 days from, but if that's going to, for various reasons, it could slip back. But I think the impetus has got to be that there is a sense of a deadline for getting these people back to their homes.
I was speaking to Bishop John Arnold of Westminster Diocese about his visit to Sri Lanka.